Hello and welcome back to The Breakdown. Today we're going to be talking NBA, NFL Draft, Shador slides, also gets prank called, Bill Belichick's girlfriend is now calling the shots. I don't know what the deal is there, but we're going to talk some NBA, LeBron and Luka out in the first round probably, Giannis and the Bucks, Dame down, might be the last time we ever seen Dame play basketball. Who knows? I think this Bucks team has got to get absolutely blown up and rebuilt. Same for the Grizzlies. But we're going to get into that later. We're going to start with the NFL draft. And with the first pick, Cam Ward goes number one. Not a shocker at all. Not a shocker at all. But we did get our first shock of the draft when Jacksonville traded with Cleveland to go up to two to get Travis Hunter. I think Cleveland made out like bandits there, getting a first next year in a quarterback-heavy draft, tanking for Arch maybe, who knows. But I think Travis Hunter is the best player in this, second best player in this draft behind Abdul Carter. But, excuse me, is he worth giving up a first next year for a guy that, in my opinion, is going to end up being a mid-offensive player and a mid-defensive player and a guy that I think can't play both sides of the ball in the NFL? But there's a lot of people out there that say that he's going to play both sides in Jacksonville. They need him to play both sides in Jacksonville. I just don't think he's going to be that good at either one. At three, let's go to a team that had a good draft, in my opinion, the Giants. Abdul Carter at three, I thought was the best player in the draft. This Giants D-line is already good, and they just made it better. Giants later then, they give up some stuff to go to the first round to get Jackson Carter. I don't know if they should have traded up necessarily, but they did get and seem to be the all-on favorite to go to after the Shador slide, looking back. Hindsight's 2020. But was he flying up the charts on people that you needed to trade up and give up a first round next year to go get him? I don't think so. But they get their quarterback for the future if Brian Daboll can figure that one out. I'm a Patriots fan. All of my friends have told me this. Everyone I've talked to has told me this. Patriots had the best draft. Patriots had the best draft. Will Campbell, who cares that his arms are short? He said it himself. Interview, nobody had a problem with my tape. And then draft measurables come out and my arms are 2 inches too short or whatever. He goes, look at my play on the tape. I don't think it makes a difference. I don't think it does either. This guy said he's going to fight and die for Drake May, and I believe him. I think that this is a great pickup. 6'6", 320. He bullies people off the ball in the SEC. And the SEC is the closest you're going to get to the NFL. I love this pick from the Patriots. Cleveland, after they trade with Travis Hunter, gets Mason Graham. Him on the D-line with Myles Garrett. That is going to be a solid D-line in an AFC North that likes to run the football between the Steelers and the Ravens. The Bengals definitely ain't going to run the football, but... Excuse me, Mason Graham, I think, is a good pickup. After falling down from two and picking up a first for next year, I like this pick by the Browns. I think the Browns had a very good draft. I didn't think that they should have took Dillon Gabriel over Shador, but Dillon Gabriel was the quarterback they decided on. And then in round five, with Shador still there, there's too much upside. It's a steal in the fifth round. Who cares? Trade them, do something. You have to take them in the fifth round. Raiders make a good pick at six with Geno. Geno Smith is very good out of play action. Very good when he has a solid running back. Pete Carroll, think about Reggie Bush. Think about Marshawn Lynch. Pete Carroll likes a solid running back, and they get that in Las Vegas. And Las Vegas has a good offense. They draft O-line in this draft. They have Brock Bowers, one of the best tight ends in football. They have a solid running back now in Geno. Jacoby Myers out there catching balls. This Raiders team is solid. I think the Jets at seven make a sensible pick. They could have went and done something stupid Jets style, but they go and they get Mimbu, a solid tackle from Missouri. I like this pick from the Jets. Carolina then at 8 goes and gets T-Mac, Tyrone McMillan. Big, tall, lanky wide receiver. Easy for Bryce Young to see. I like that they're committing to Bryce Young, give him some confidence. I thought that there was other ways they could have went here, but I like that they're installing some confidence into Bryce Young. Big wide receiver, easy target. I like the pick. I think the Saints make a sensible pick at 9. The Saints really needed a quarterback. They end up getting Shug in the second round. I think the Saints had one of the worst drafts overall, but I don't hate their first round pick. Kelvin Banks, solid left tackle from Texas. Sensible pick to go get some help for Derek Carr, who has been injury prone. The Bears take a tight end like we had assumed before, but they take the one that I thought was the second best tight end. I would have took Tyler Warren, especially in this Ben Johnson offense. Tyler Warren, we've seen it at Penn State. Trick play master, can line up in the Wildcat, can line up playing quarterback, throws the football. I thought Tyler Warren would have been a nice piece, especially for Ben Johnson. But they take the one that has more, that's more NFL ready. The one that won a national championship with Jim Harbaugh. The one that's a solid, solid tight end right now, does not need much work, can come into this and provide Caleb Williams a big, strong target over the middle. And that's Colston Loveland out of Michigan. And I think that this is a solid, solid pick from the Bears. San Francisco goes at 11 and gets a Georgia edge. It's a Georgia defensive lineman. He's probably going to be solid. This is what San Francisco does. They go get big D linemen. They're going to have that defense looking right. That's San Francisco for you. I think Dallas makes a great pick at 12. Dallas needed a wide receiver. Everybody hated on this. All the Tylers on the offensive line. Who cares? They go. They make the sensible pick. They're not what Dallas normally does, which is go and get the flashiest player in the draft. They go and they make a sensible pick. Offensive guard from Alabama, Tyler Booker, really athletic, 6'5", 321. ESPN had him graded at 85, rated the best guard in the draft. Sensible pick from the Dallas Cowboys. Dolphins go and get Kenneth Grant from Michigan, defensive tackle. Solid pick from the Dolphins. I don't think at all. He's a Big Ten defense tackle. The Dolphins needed some run support in a division that is mostly going to be running the football with new running backs Travion Henderson on the Patriots, Breece Hall to the Jets. The Bills like to run the football a lot more last year. This is a good pickup from the Dolphins to go get a defensive tackle, shore up that defensive line. Indianapolis needed a tight end bad coming into this one. And they get, in my opinion, the one with the most potential and the most upside, Tyler Warren, who we just talked about a minute ago, rated a 93 draft grade by ESPN. I love this pick. I think that he's going to be like a Swiss Army knife top, very Greg Olsen-like, in my opinion, to Indianapolis, if Indianapolis can figure out the quarterback. Falcons get Jaylen Walker. Interesting pick. I thought that they could have gone somewhere else, maybe help out Michael Penix. But they go and they get Jaylen Walker, Georgia linebacker. If it's a Georgia defensive player, you can't go wrong. But he's a front seven defender. He can play inside backer or edge. Gets off the ball. I think he's going to be solid. My issue with the Falcons, though, is them trading back up and giving a first to go get James Pierce, who might have been the most disappointing player in this draft. People were talking about him last year as the number one pick. Now he fell to 26 because the team that overdrafted him, like we were talking about. I don't like that at all. Falcons gave up way too much to go get a player that would have probably been there at their second round pick. I am not a fan of that one at all. Arizona gets Walter Nolan, Ole Miss D tackle. I like the pick from Arizona. They had defensive issues, and they go and they get it. Bengals at 17 take Shamar Stewart from Texas A&M, an edge. He was rated the sixth best edge in the draft, and he went third. I don't like this pick from the Bengals at all. I just don't think he's that solid. I liked Pierce before him. I liked multiple other edges before Shamar Stewart. But Bengals take Shamar Stewart, new defensive coordinator in the Bengals. Hopefully they start playing some of these young guys and get them on the field. I do think Shamar Stewart is an athletic freak and has big potential, but the Bengals need defensive help now. The Seahawks make a good pick. Gray Zabel, North Dakota State, offensive guard. Protect Sam Darnold up front. Sam Darnold, when he has a clean pocket, can make incredible throws. This is going to help him try to get that incredible pocket. If he can step up in the pocket and make good throws, Sam Darnold doesn't mind the outside pressure. He minds the pressure up the middle. Go get an interior offensive lineman. Good pick from the Seahawks. 19. I think the Bucs maybe reached a little here, but I do like going to get Baker an extra target with Chris Godwin coming off an injury, Mike Evans getting older, and Mega Ibuka from Ohio State, insane player at Ohio State. We've seen some of the catches that he was making, especially the one in the Rose Bowl. He's a great, great wide receiver. I was really hoping he'd fall to the Patriots in the second round, but Tampa Bay takes him right here at 19, and I like the pick. They could have went defense, but I like giving Baker more offensive weapons. This Tampa Bay offense is insane. Jahdae Barron, cornerback from Texas, going to Denver. I thought that there was other corners before him that I liked. I liked Maxwell Harrison before him, who I think ended up becoming a very good pick to the Bills. But pair him alongside Patrick Surtain on one side, Jahdae Barron on the other. I think that this could be a very, very solid defense. Draft grade of 91 from ESPN. This could be a very, very solid defense in Denver with a defensive front line that's very good. And Jahdae Barron is a lockup corner who, if the D-line can get there quick, he's going to make some incredible plays. The story of pick 21 and the Steelers is, how did they not end up with Shedeur Sanders? What is this garbage that they're doing in Pittsburgh? They're basically Aaron Rodgers. Like, they're just waiting on Aaron Rodgers to make a decision. Aaron Rodgers is not good enough to be sitting around begging him to come to the Steelers. He's not that good. Draft somebody. Shedeur had been there the whole draft. The whole draft, 5 picks from the Steelers, and they didn't take Shedeur. I don't understand. And in all of Steelers fashion, they take a defensive tackle. It's just very Steelers-like to me. Forget offense. We're just going to play good defense. Our offense is going to be average. We're going to make the 7th seed in the wild card with Aaron Rodgers, and then we're going to get the 20th pick again. Every year with the Steelers. In the NFL, you either have to be good or you have to suck. That's why I wasn't upset with the Patriots sucking. Because now we have a capable quarterback in Drake May, solid left tackle in Will Campbell in back-to-back drafts. And now there's a lot of upside with the Patriots. There is no upside with the Steelers. Their potential is a wild card team that gets beat in the first round of the playoffs because they want Aaron Rodgers and not somebody that has a future. This is what it's been with the Steelers for the last couple years. How much upside is there with Russell Wilson? There is none. How much upside is there with Justin Fields? A decent amount. And you put him on the bench after he started undefeated. I just don't understand the Steelers. 22. Chargers get Amarian Hampton, running back from North Carolina. This makes all the sense in the world to me. Jim Harbaugh loves to run the football. J.K. Dobbins had been hurt throughout the season. This is a shifty running back. He has the power, the quickness to get it done. Chargers have built a good O-line, and I think this is a great pick to go get a running back to fit that Jim Harbaugh system. Packers take a wide receiver for the first time in forever in the one draft that I didn't think they needed a wide receiver. But Matthew Golden, outstanding upside, had to go take him at 23 if he was there. Good pick, Packers. Donovan Jackson goes to the Vikings at 24, offensive guard from Ohio State. Help out J.J. McCarthy. J.J. McCarthy coming back off an injury. I like the O-line pick. Go get him some help. This is where the Giants trade up in the draft to go get Jackson Dart. Jackson Dart, probably, in my opinion, the third best quarterback. I thought Shadur was better than him. But Jackson Dart, Brian Daboll seen something that he likes, and they traded up to go get him. I don't hate it. Big time moves make out big time players. Just hope that this big time move don't come back to bite you. But then you go to 26, James Pierce. I do think this move will come back to bite them. I don't like them trading up and giving up a first round pick from the Rams, and now the Rams have the Falcons pick. This is perfect from the Rams. Matthew Stafford getting old. They're going to need a quarterback. They trade back to a team that may be in the top 10 next year in the Falcons, and they're in a very heavy quarterback draft. The Rams played it out perfect. But why did we expect anything different from Los Angeles? We didn't, because Sean McVay and this front office is insane. So next year, they're going to get a top 10 pick from the Falcons in a quarterback-heavy draft to move back, I think, like 12 spots to the second round. But, I mean, perfect play from the Rams here. I think the Ravens get the steal of the draft. In some opinions, Malachi Starks with Kyle Hamilton at safety, that is going to be absolutely nasty. Georgia defensive player to the Ravens makes all the sense in the world. Great pick from the Ravens. Lions go and take Ohio State defensive tackle. They had some injuries up front this year. They had some defensive issues with running the football last year. They go and they get Tyleek Williams from Ohio State. Good pick. I thought that is what Detroit needed out of anything. Maybe reach too far for them, but you have to get some defensive line in the NFC North that is going to be absolutely, absolutely insane on offense. Washington goes and gets a tackle. Help out Jaden Daniels. They got Laremy Tunsil on one side, and they go get Josh Connerly from Oregon. Big guy, 6'5", 3'11". I love this pick. I think that this is really solid from Washington. Help out Jaden Daniels all you can. Bills get a steal at Maxwell Hairston. I'm not a Kentucky guy, but he was insane at Kentucky. I think that this is a great pick at 30. And then at 31, how do the Eagles get another insane defensive player? John Campbell, best linebacker in the draft, falls to 31, and then they trade with the Chiefs. Of course, the Eagles had to make a trade to go get a defense player. But this is insane that he fell to the Eagles. The rich keep getting richer. Same thing for the Chiefs with getting Josh Simmons, who, when he's healthy, might be the best offensive tackle in the draft. They needed Patrick Mahomes some help. We watched the Super Bowl, and they just build back from the Super Bowl. Eagles get a defensive pass rusher who's insane. And then the Chiefs, to combat that, go and get an offensive tackle. The rich just keep getting richer in that aspect. That is our round one overview. So now let's take a look at overall draft summaries, who I think had the best drafts. I think the Ravens had a great draft. Malachi Starks, Mike Green in the second round. Emory Jones, the other left tackle from LSU, in the third round. I thought that the Ravens had a great, great draft. I think the Cardinals had a decent draft. Walter Nolan, Will Johnson really boosted that draft grade in the second round. Will Johnson maybe could have been a first rounder. The Bears had a great draft. I thought they were going to go defense after this offseason and building on the offense, but no, they just keep adding to the offense. Colston Loveland, Luther Burden, Shamar Turner on defense. Bears had a good draft. Let me see who else I want to talk about. I thought the Texans had a fine draft. I think that Ursay from Minnesota was a good draft pick in the second round. Jalen Noel, I thought, was a great pickup. He's going to match Nico Collins very well on the outside. Woody Marks is a good pick in the fourth round. I think that the Texans had a fine draft. I think that the Raiders had a really good draft. Ashton Jeanty, I think it's going to fit perfect. Jack Besh, one of the best wide receivers in the draft. Darian Porter from Iowa State. A lot of Iowa State players taken in this draft. And I think that they got Dante Thornton from Tennessee. I thought was a good pick in the fourth round. I like what the Raiders have done here. But now we have to talk about who I think had the best draft. And I think it's the Patriots. Will Campbell. Travion Henderson might have been the best running back in the draft besides Jeanty. There's a case for him over Hampton. There's a case for him over Quinshon Judkins. And they get an explosive back. Explosive back. Round three, Kyle Williams from Washington State. Go watch the film on when Washington State played Colorado and he torches Travis Hunter. Torches Travis Hunter. Round three, Patriots go get the best center in the draft, Jared Wilson from Georgia. Just keep building around Drake May. That's what this draft was. Let's just build around Drake May. And then I think the Patriots get one of the better steals of the draft. Round five, go get Braden Swenson from LSU. Swenson, one of the more underrated edges in the draft. This guy was insane at LSU. And they go get him in the fifth round. I like the Patriots draft. I think the Patriots are back. I may be a homer, but if somebody's answering the phone and I can tell them who's back, it's the Patriots. The Patriots are back. I think the Giants had a good draft. Abdul Carter, Jackson Dart, Darius Alexander, solid. I love the Cam Scadabo pick. I think Cam Scadabo is insane. I think that he is very underrated. I like that pick from the Giants. I think the Steelers had one of the worst drafts. I like Jack Sawyer in round four. I don't like the running back pick. I don't like a D-tackle pick. And you take Will Howard in round six when you could have had Shedeur Sanders in round five. There's a big difference between Will Howard and Shedeur Sanders if you watch them. There's a real big difference. Real big. That's my NFL draft overview. Now we're going to switch up and we're going to talk about some NBA. The Lakers are hurting. They go down 3-1 to the Timberwolves on a game where Anthony Edwards looked like the best player in the world. Anthony Edwards looked like he couldn't be stopped in this game. There was about a 10-minute stretch right there. I was listening to it on the radio, and the announcers were like, holy cow. Holy cow. This guy, he's insane. 5 of 10 from 3. Got to the free throw line 17 times. 22 of 23 from the floor. 43 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists for Edwards. Julius Randle helps him out. 25.7 boards. And I think the deciding factor in this series has been depth. Naz Reid off the bench, Dante DiVincenzo off the bench, Terrence Shannon Jr. off the bench, Nikhil Alexander Walker off the bench. The Timberwolves off the bench have been hurting the Lakers bad because the Lakers, they played the same five players in the second half the other day, yesterday, and they looked gassed. Luka looked gassed. LeBron looked gassed. The Lakers got 6 points off the bench, and that came off Dorian Finney-Smith hitting 2 threes. You got to have better than that. The Lakers got to recoup this offseason and go find everybody some help. They have to get some depth. They have to get a big. There's a lot of things that this Laker team need. I thought that they were good enough to go deep just because of Luka and LeBron. I didn't think too much of the depth. Holy cow, was I wrong. Was I wrong. This Timberwolves team has ate them up in the second half of teams. They blow a lead in this one. They blew a lead the other day. Minnesota's eating them up. Chris Finch has done a heck of a job with this Timberwolves team. Congrats to the Timberwolves. You're going on to the second round, it seems. New York beats Detroit in old school basketball, 94-93. I thought Detroit got fouled at the end. Probably should have won this game. Detroit outplayed them the whole game. I thought that this was Detroit's game to win. I thought Detroit had this one in the bag most of the game. They looked better than the Knicks, but the Knicks squeak one out, probably get lucky on a call. Karl Towns, 27 points, 9 rebounds, 5 of 6 from 3. Brunson, 32, 5 and 11, 50% from the field. And then when you look at Detroit, Cade Cunningham has a triple-double, 25, 10, and 10, 11 and 23 from the field. Tim Hardaway Jr. has 14. Tobias Harris has 18. Off the bench, Malik Beasley has 13. I think that this has just been a very, very physical series. And I like watching this series. And I want to see Detroit win, really. I'm not a Knicks fan. But this has been a physical series. I thought Detroit deserved that game yesterday. And then they get a little screwed out of it on that last jumper call. I thought Josh Hart fouled him in the corner, but it is what it is. Got to live with the call. But it doesn't look good for Detroit to come back from down 3-1 to the Knicks team that's going back to MSG. Boston beats Orlando 107-98. Tatum absolutely took over, 37 points, 14 rebounds, 10 of 25 from the floor. Jaylen Brown had 21-11. Porzingis 19-5-1. Derek White 18-7-7. Derek White has been the MVP of the series so far. He has packed when they need him to. And this has been one of the most physical series that I've seen in a long time. The Magic are beating up on the Celtics. I mean, the Celtics might go back-to-back, but Orlando is not a good matchup for them when it comes to physicality. They're very good at defending the three. The Celtics live and die by the three. This is just a bad matchup for the Celtics. They're up 3-1. Celtics need to finish this series off as soon as possible and get out of this series against the Magic because they're getting beat up. Porzingis has stitches. Tatum missed a game. Brown missed a game. Holiday's missed three games. The Celtics need to get out of this series, need to rest up before their next one because the Magic are taking it to them. Banchero, one of the most promising young players in the game, 12 of 32 from the field, though, on 31 points. The Magic do not need Banchero shooting 32 shots. I think that's the reason that the Magic are not over the hump because it's two-player dependent. Franz Wagner, 24 points, 6 rebounds, 7 assists on 22 shots, 10 of 22. And their next high scorer had 12. This is the issue with the Magic. They have two young stars that they need to build around. When they go into this offseason, it's time to start looking for a third option. KD's on the trade market. KD, I think that you should go to the Magic. I think that this would be a great landing spot for someone like KD, an excellent scorer. They need a third option in Orlando. They need somebody to help out Banchero and Wagner. I like KD to the Magic. I think that that would be a great move for the Magic. I don't know what they have to give up. As long as it's not Banchero or Wagner, give it up. Because it's insane. Anthony Black looks like he's coming on strong. Cole Anthony in this one went 0 for 0. Just had no, didn't put up a shot. But Cole Anthony has to be better if the Magic want to win. Anthony Black looks pretty solid. But this is all the Banchero and Wagner show. You can't have Banchero putting up 32 shots and expect to win. They are gutting it out. They're beating up on the Celtics. And that's the story of the series. I think that them beating them up is not enough to win. That's the underlying story. They're making it hard, but they're not good enough to beat the Celtics. And props to Orlando for putting up a heck of a series. And props to Banchero and Wagner for playing their tails off. It's just not enough. That's the story of that series. Then we go to Milwaukee. Dame gets hurt. Is this the last time we ever see Dame play basketball? Looked like a torn Achilles just watching it. You could kind of see it pop. I thought Damian Lillard might not come back from the blood clots. He might not come back from a torn Achilles, but who knows? Milwaukee loses this one 129-103. The Pacers have sneaky talent all over the floor. I like the Pacers team. Their starting five works together so well. In this one, their second best player, Siakam, didn't have that great of a game, but he has 12, goes 5-10 from the floor. Nesmith, 14. Miles Turner, who I think is an absolute star defensively, 4 blocks in this one. And then adds in 23 points on a very efficient 9 of 13. Halliburton, 17, 8, 15 assists. And then Andrew Nembhard, 4 of 8 from 3, 20 points. And they're getting help off the bench with Obi Toppin and Jairus Walker. TJ McConnell had a good night in Milwaukee too, 7 of 10 shooting, 15 points. This Indiana team has a lot of depth with Tony Bradley, Thomas Bryant, and Ben Shepherd. They go deep. They're playing like, looks almost like 10 players in the playoffs. You hardly ever see that anymore from a team. This rotation's deep. Milwaukee is so Giannis-centric, so Giannis-reliant. He has 28 last night, 15 boards, 6 assists. The next highest scorer was 14 with Bobby Portis off the bench. It's so sad. Well, Kevin Porter had 23. But how many times is Kevin Porter going to have 23? The Bucks need a reliant second or third option. Dame is that second option when he's healthy. But he can't stay on the floor. Kuzma, they went and got him at the trade deadline. Everybody thought he was going to be the third option. In this one, he had 3 points and 1 of 6 from the floor. I just don't get it. This Bucks team, you got to do. I think it's time to blow it up this offseason. I think it's time for a rebuild in Milwaukee. And if that includes trading Giannis, I think it has to be done. You got your championship the 1 year with Giannis. I just don't see it happening again. I think it's time for the Bucks to do something different. This is just not the way that I wanted the Giannis and the Bucks season to go out. But I think that something has to be done in Milwaukee. This series is not shaping up the way that I thought it would. I thought the Bucks would at least give them a good run, but I thought the Pacers did have more talent. But it's sad to see this Bucks team the way it is right now, and Giannis without any help. Let's go to a Western Conference series, Saturday games, Houston and Golden State. Golden State wins 104-93. Jimmy Butler out. Golden State still wins. Curry has 36. 36, 5 of 13 from 3. Some of these threes he was hitting was tough. Buddy Hield was 17. Gary Payton II was 16. Pajimski with 10. Draymond does his normal thing. 7 points, 8 boards, 4 assists. I think that this Warriors team has more experience than this Houston team. You can't expect to win in San Fran against this team. That home court advantage is solid. And a young team like the Rockets going in there, I don't see them winning a game in San Francisco. Dylan Brooks has 13 for the Rockets. Shingun does his normal thing, double-double, 15 points, 11 boards. Amin Thompson has 11, 7, and 4. Fred VanVleet has 17. Jabari Smith has 12. It's a full team effort from the Rockets. It's just not enough. They didn't have a high scorer over 17. I think that's the issue with the Rockets, that they don't have a reliable star that they can go to. I think that's why the Rockets is also somewhere where KD could go. I think that this Rockets team is very team-centric, very, very built around multiple people. But they don't have one guy that they can rely on. I think Golden State's going to end up closing this series out very easily, especially playing these games in San Francisco now. I think that this is the Warriors series to lose. Let's move on to the series that has been the best series so far, and that is Nuggets Clippers. Aaron Gordon put back dunk before the buzzer to win this one. This has been a battle back and forth, and it's full team efforts both ways. Aaron Gordon, 14 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists. Christian Braun, 17 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists. MPJ, 17 points. Jokic, 36 points, 21 rebounds, 8 assists on 14 of 25 shooting, 3 of 6 from 3. And add in a block and 5 offensive rebounds. Jokic, golly, he's insane. Jamal Murray puts up a very solid stat line, 13-7-7. He wasn't hitting the 3 ball very well tonight, but the Nuggets survive, win 101-99. And look at this team effort from the Clippers. Harden doesn't have the best night, but he still has 15 points, 11 assists. Norman Powell, 22 points. Zubac has 19 points, 12 rebounds, 6 assists. 6 assists from a center is nice, especially if your name is not Jokic. Kawhi Leonard looks like one of the best players in the NBA when he's healthy, which he has been. We just can't see him on the floor. Remember the Raptors back when he won the title and took down the 76ers? Kawhi has been one of the best players in the NBA when he's healthy. In this one had 24 points, 9 rebounds, 10 of 22 from the floor. And this Clippers team, I think, is very, very solid. I just think the Nuggets are going to end up eking it out. I think that the Nuggets have the best player in the series in Jokic, and I just think that's going to be what ends up getting them the win. OKC, let's move to that series. Closes out Memphis. Shea has 38. Hartenstein with 11. Holmgren with 7. With 11. Jalen Williams with 23. This one was never a series. Ja gets hurt in this one. Didn't play. And I just, like, Scottie Pippen Jr. with 30. This Grizzlies team, I think it's time to blow it up. I think it's time to trade Ja. He's more off the field, off the court stuff. I just think it's time to get rid of Ja in Memphis. Send him somewhere else. Build around Jaren Jackson Jr. It's time to get rid of Ja. There's too much outside noise for the production that he's giving you on the court, which isn't that amazing, in my opinion, for what his name recognition is. I think it's time to get rid of Ja. I think the trade value would be fairly decent. I think it's time to just blow this Memphis thing up. They started out as a 2 or 3 seed to start the season, fire their coach, drop down to the play-in. I just think it's time for Memphis to blow it up, start somewhere new. And that's my take on the Grizzlies. OKC looks like the best team in the NBA so far. I fully expect them to be playing in the finals. Then let's move to the last series we're going to talk about. Cleveland 124, Miami 87. Cleveland's going to sweep this one like we'd all thought. Miami just doesn't have the players to play with them. And every time for Cleveland, it's just a team effort. Evan Mobley with 19, Jared Allen with 22, Max Strus with 18, Donovan Mitchell with 13, DeAndre Hunter with 21, Ty Jerome with 13. It's just a full team effort from Cleveland. The Heat, Andrew Wiggins with 10, Bam Adebayo with 22, Tyler Herro with 13, Davion Mitchell with 16. If the Heat don't have Bam score 40 or Tyler Herro score 40, they're not going to win. Cleveland just has too much talent. They just can't compete with them. This is going to be Cleveland in 4. Cleveland's going to go the next round. There's not much to talk about here. So let's talk about some NBA, MLB real quick before we get going here. Let's take a look at the standings. AL East, Yankees at 17-11, Red Sox at 16-14, Rays at 500, Blue Jays 13-15, Orioles 10-17. Red Sox sweep this or win a series against the Guardians. Yankees offense looks good. That's short in the AL East. The Tigers in the Central are dominating that 18-10. Tigers, I think, will end up winning this AL Central. I thought the Guardians could give them a good run. Guardians lose a series where their pitching gave up a ton of runs to the Red Sox. So I think this is the Tigers series, Tigers division to lose. Then let's go AL West. This AL West is stacked. Mariners right now winning the series, winning the division at 16-12. Rangers at 15-13, Astros 14-13, Athletics 14-14, and the Angels sneakily aren't that awful, 12-15. This Mariners team has been a shocker so far. I like the Mariners. I think that they look pretty solid. I still think the Rangers are the best team in that AL West. So I'd probably give this division to them if I was thinking about it. Mets in the NL East, they're the best team in baseball as of right now, in my opinion. Mets at 19-9. Phillies are solid at 15-13. Nationals 13-15. Braves 12-15. Braves have to be the story of the season so far. They're tied with the Marlins. Who would have thought? The Braves got to get better. Cubs, one of the other stories of the season, 17-12. They started out real hot. They haven't had the greatest couple games, but the Cubs are still ahead in the NL Central. Reds have looked pretty decent, 15-13. Pretty sure they swept their series this weekend. Reds are solid at 15-13. Brewers 14-15. Cardinals 12-16. Pirates 11-18. Pirates got to get some type of hitting out there. Their pitchers are solid. Their run differential, though, is -25. Not much you can do about that if you're a pitcher. I mean, the Pirates just got to get some offensive help surrounding their pitchers. Giants in the NL West look good, leading that one 19-10. Dodgers in second place, 18-10. Padres 17-11. Diamondbacks 15-13. And the Rockies, of course, are the Rockies at 4-23. This NL West is insane. Insane. I do think the Dodgers will end up winning the series. I do think the Giants are going to end up slipping to third. And this Giants, Dodgers, Padres top three. And then don't forget the Diamondbacks at four. NL West is the best division in baseball right now. So that is your MLB updated standings, updated breakdown. So we talked NFL draft, NFL stories, NBA series, and then we talked MLB. And that has been it on the breakdown on this April 28th. Thank you for listening. Please tell your friends about the podcast. Keep listening to the podcast. Download and share. Thank you for listening. This has been The Breakdown with Brad Canterbury.